All right. Good to go? Okay. Thank you, everyone. Thanks for taking the time to attend this session where we're going to talk a lot about new stuff that's coming in Visual Studio and Blend for you guys, the XAML developers. I just want to see how many of you attended Tim Heuer's session just before this one? All right, so pretty much everyone, you know, Tim stole a bunch of the thunder that I had. You know, I had like this. I had this like really well-rehearsed demo, and I'm going to go with this thing now, you know, right here. So I'll wing it a little bit. Small audience, that means absolutely feel free to ask questions anytime. If you have any doubts or anything like that, I'll be happy to answer questions as well. Okay, so what's the agenda for today? I'm going to take you on a quick, really quick tour of Visual Studio and the new features that you really need to know about and care about. So as a XAML developer, what are the features of Visual Studio that you need to know about? I'm not going to do a lot of demos here because there's a lot of sessions dedicated to these topics towards in the next couple days. At the very end of my deck, I do have a listing of sessions that you could consider like attending to know more about these features as they may interest you. Today's demos are primarily going to be deep dive into Visual Studio and Blend for authoring XAML apps. I'm going to show you a lot of cool new things, and I guarantee you that I'm going to show you things that have not been shown before. So please stay tuned. It's going to go a little, you know, the first half an hour, you'll probably hear the same things and, you know, over and over again. But the last half an hour is going to be exciting, and I promise that. I'm going to show you lots of demos. I'm not going to do a lot of slides. It's all going to be demos, so that's good stuff as well. I'm going to make an assumption that you've already, but how many of you have already built a Windows Store app in XAML? Perfect, sounds good. So I'm going to make this assumption that you've already done your basic app building exercise in XAML. It doesn't really matter if you've used C# or C++, we love them all. So, you know, and VB, of course, absolutely. So, all it matters is you're a XAML developer. Okay. In Visual Studio 2013, we have a ton of features for making the life of you guys really good, like the XAML developers. From the keynote this morning, you heard a lot of things about how Windows is making user experience changes to how things like the windowing model work and things like that. Tim also talked about how the platform has been enhanced to add a number of new styles and scenarios and things like that. In response to that, you'll notice that Visual Studio has a lot of changes to the templates that we have made. Of course, you can take your Windows 8 app and bring it forward. You know, that's fine. But if you were to start from scratch, you'll notice that the templates have changed quite a bit. I'm going to take you on a quick tour of some of these changes just to get you familiar with these things. That's going to be part of my demo. Today's session is primarily around authoring XAML apps. And in particular, there are three main areas that we have sort of invested in Visual Studio and Blend. We know that you guys love to type your XAML. I don't know, I mean, I love to use Blend and the design tools, but we know that you guys love to type your XAML. We have made a ton of improvements in the XAML editor in Visual Studio. Tim showed a couple of them, and I'm going to show a lot more today in terms of what we're doing in the XAML editor in Visual Studio to make it a more productive environment. Of course, like I said, you know, we love Blend. Tons of new design experiences in Blend as well, and I'm going to do, and when I say design experiences, I just don't mean better design times or controls. I'm going to show you brand new experiences that help you build amazing looking apps for Windows Store. And, we heard loud and clear from you guys that the performance and reliability of the XAML designer was an issue. You've done a lot of work in this release to sort of make this really good. So while I can demo this on stage here, trust me that we've invested quite heavily in improving the performance and reliability of the designer. So I'm going to go more into demos on that, so I'm going to just skip past that for a second. One of the big areas that as a company that we've invested in is diagnostic tools. How do you actually detect issues in your app? And for the XAML developer, we are happy to present a couple of these tools. We have a tool for detecting visual UI responsiveness issues. So why is my app not starting up fast? Why are there drop frames? Things like that. So we have tools in Visual Studio that could help you get started along the path to diagnosing and detecting and fixing these issues eventually, ensuring great experiences for your users. Of course, in the keynote this morning, we saw like the tools that we're building to sort of profile your app for power consumption, battery consumption, things like that. So, of course, these are available for the XAML developer, and we saw a demo. We have a full session dedicated to the diagnostic tools in Visual Studio later this week. You'll see a reference to that at the end of my deck as well. Async debugging, Windows makes it super simple to write async code, but hard to debug. We have made a number of investments in Visual Studio to help you detect the causality of why the scenario is not working, know all the async things that are going on in your app, and help you figure issues in this particular space. Windows Azure, we have invested a lot in making it really easy for you to build Windows Store apps that sort of talk to the Azure backend, be that to store, retrieve data, or push notifications. We have invested in making Visual Studio a pretty good environment for integrating with Windows Azure, and in particular, the Azure mobile services. Store, we saw a lot of enhancements to the store, like a lot of things that we saw in the keynote this morning, and more details will come later this week, if not already shared out there. The manifest designers in Visual Studio have been updated to sort of accommodate these scenarios. One of the cool things is you can now run your, I don't know if folks already attended the session where they discussed this, but you can run your Windows app certification kit on a remote device. This ensures that you can deliver like quality apps that just not work great on your really good dev machines, but on the actual device that your actual end users are going to use as well. So that's pretty cool stuff. Coded UI testing, this is a new scenario. If you already installed Visual Studio, you would see a new project template for C# that allows you to write coded UI tests. If you're coming from a WPF background, these scenarios allow you to write user interface tests as opposed to unit tests. Both of these are important scenarios. We have invested in making this experience slightly better in Visual Studio 2013. If you're a .NET developer or a C++ developer, we have things that are sort of new and exciting. If you're a .NET developer, one of the big pain points that you've consistently expressed is how do you inspect the return value of functions, right? You don't want to store a variable, you know, temporarily put the variable in the watch window and see it, right? Visual Studio's debug, watch windows now allow you to inspect these without actually doing all these tricks and tips just to get a better diagnostics experience. 64-bit edit and continue. If you're building a 64-bit app, how do you sort of make a change and continue it without sort of restarting your whole debug session is a big deal for .NET developers. C++, the C++ language service has been greatly enhanced. There's a lot of performance improvements that went into making C++ and .NET apps fast, but in addition to that, inside Visual Studio, the editor has been significantly enhanced to do a number of scenarios like brace matching or formatting and a whole bunch of things. How many of you attended Tarek's session this earlier today, where he talked about a few of these? Okay, so a bunch of things is there as well. Windows brings, 8,000, 5,000 some new APIs. There are a few of the APIs that have also been deprecated, which means these are fully supported, but you're expected to move to a better version of these over time. Our language services in C# and VB already had support for deprecation, right? When you build your project, you would say, hey, this API is obsolete. Consider replacing it with this alternative. We are happy to announce that we're also bringing the API deprecation support to the XAML system as well. So if you're actually using an API in XAML, this feature is not available in today's preview, but it'll be available shortly in the next release of Visual Studio. We will tell you when the API is deprecated as you build your application, even if you're using it in XAML, which would have been really hard to detect otherwise. So these are some of the overall improvements that we've made to Visual Studio. But today's session is all about demos, like I promised. And I'm going to switch gears to start doing some demos. Okay, so let's switch over to my demo machine. I'm going to be first taking you through a quick tour of the project templates and the changes that we have made to them to make your Windows 8.1 application development easier. So if you create the new project dialog, or you bring up the new project dialog, you'll, of course, Tim mentioned we have a new project template for building apps that are based on the hub pattern. Don't worry about the icon or the iconography on the right-hand side. That's the grid app. It'll get updated later. But the idea is that we have a brand new project template for building hub apps. Similarly, there's a new project template here for, like I said, building UI tests for your application as well. I'm not going to demo that today because there is a session dedicated to that, so I'm going to skip past that. So let's go ahead and create a hub app. In this case, I have a C++ hub app because the rest of my demos are sort of based on C#. I thought, why not C++ a little bit? So the very first thing you'll note when you create one of these project templates is we no longer have the notion of layout-aware page. The windowing model in Windows 8.1 has changed to the point where it doesn't make sense for having a concept like layout-aware page. The whole purpose of layout-aware page primarily was to deal with this notion of snap states and the fill states and things like that. In this new model, apps are designed to be dynamic all dynamic layout, right? So the root of most of your XAML files, actually all of your XAML files that we now create, is the good old page. And you're expected to use any one of the existing mechanisms like visual states or, you know, user controls, detect the events, and do the layout switching yourself. So the project templates are simplified from that perspective. Another simplification, Tim mentioned this as well, there is no standard styles.xaml. So if you look at app.xaml, it's pretty much empty. All it does is this app name variable that gets used in multiple pages, but there is no standard styles.xaml. Not only does this help you simplify your app, it also helps with startup perf as well, like Tim was saying. So that's cool stuff. Now, of course, while we got rid of layout-aware page, there are a few concepts like suspension that you need to handle, right? Windows will sort of suspend your app when it's short on resources and you're expected to save your state and rehydrate it when the app comes back to life. So we do have suspension managers still in the templates, as we do have navigation helpers. So as you navigate across pages, we remember the entire back stack for your application. Automatically, we save and restore these things. We have refactored the project templates pretty significantly to make these optional opt-in services. So you could just, better than before, cut and paste these things into your blank app and then get started on your blank app with reusing some of these components. So the idea here is, like, we really made it not only were the project templates simpler, and as a result of all of these changes, performance is also pretty significantly better in these project templates than they were in Windows 8.0. So that's the project templates, real quick overview. Let's do some app building. So the app we're going to build today is a very simple learning tool. Let me just run it before I describe what it does. I was watching ESPN the other day, and I was seeing the spelling bee thing. I was like, all right, let's do like a, you know, kids learning tool spelling app thing. It's not really, if you went to Chris Anderson's session, this is no game or anything like that, just a simple learning tool, just to put together all the concepts I'm going to show today. Simple hub page, there's an advertisement here, there's some progress bars and a category. When I click on a section, it goes, and if audio was working, you'd be able to hear the word cat being mentioned, but that's besides the point, so we will not worry about that. We have I was just playing around with some of the new Windows APIs, and I was just playing with the, you know, handwriting sort of recognition APIs. So really bad idea to write with the mouse, but that's all I have right now. So I'm going to hit OK. It detects the word correctly and sort of like allows you to sort of move through the game. Simple scenario using a bunch of the new Windows APIs. App bar, because I do want to show some of the app bar work they've done in our tools. We have done some pretty amazing work there. It's a really simple app. So I'm going to build this app. I'm going to actually try to build most of the XAML on stage here. The code, a little bit of it, I've already pre-built it. So let me just quickly walk you through the project structure before I start building this app. I've basically taken the hub template. I've added a few view models. It's a proper MVVM style app, so there's a separation between your view and view model and things like that. So I have a bunch of view model classes. I've deleted the hub page, and that's where I am, right? So this is really nothing but a blank app. A couple of pages have been pre-built because I won't be building all of this stuff on stage here. So let's get started. The very first thing I'm going to do is add a new hub page to this template. So I'm going to go ahead and add new item, select hub page, and hit add. So let's wait for the designer to load. You can see how quickly the designer loaded. So that's one of the things that I was sort of talking about. We've done a lot of work here to improve that experience. Okay, so the very first thing I want to do is to sort of give a background image. Let me just zoom out a little bit so you guys can see the entire page. There we go. So the very first thing I want to do is give a background for this hub app, right? So I'm going to just go to the toolbox, search for image. And one of the new features, minor new features that we've added in Visual Studio 2013 is drag and drop into the document outline in Visual Studio. So I can drag and drop the page, the image into my document outline exactly where I want it. I don't want all these layout properties that we have set for you, so I'm going to just clear it out. And I'm going to set the source of the image to an image that already exists in my project, bg.png. So I have my basic background of the image up and running. The next thing I want to do is to sort of give, if I go back to my app, I want to sort of create this logo over here. So let's go ahead and do that. So I'm going to select the hub. I'm going to edit the header template for the hub. And I'm going to create something from scratch. So hub header template and hit OK. I'm going to do the same steps that I did before. I'm going to search for the image, drag and drop it into the document outline. And I'm going to sort of reset the properties that Visual Studio said. We do want to fix this issue very shortly. We're working on that. And I'm going to sort of select a different image in my project. So in this case, it's a really large image, not what I want. I'm going to go to the layout category and set the height to 120 pixels. So my simple logo is up and running, and my very basics of the app are starting to come together. The next thing I want to do is I want to style the hub section, right? So the hub section needs to look something like this, right over here. So it consists of a header and some content. So let's go ahead and do the header first. Right-click on the hub section, edit additional templates, header template, and create empty. By the way, I'm going to show you some really cool work we've done in Blend to improve the styling experience in a little bit, but let's keep going with the flow here. So hub section, or let's just say daily challenge section header template. Hit OK. So the next thing I want to do is put a text block. Let's go ahead and search for a text block, drag and drop the text block into the document outline, do the exact same steps that I did before. I promise we'll fix that. And let's give it some text. So let's give it some text saying today's challenge. Now, I have a predefined style in my application that I want to apply to this text block. So just like before, you could do in Visual Studio 2012, right-click, edit style, apply resource, and hub section header text style. So starting to look good. Now, the question is, what really happened? Like, how did it all of a sudden start looking good, right? And that's because I applied the style that existed in my app. Like Tim was saying before, we have made significant investments in Visual Studio to implement GoToDefinition anywhere in your XAML. And I'm going to show a number of these examples. The first thing, of course, is you right-click on any style, hit GoToDefinition, and it take you to the style where it's coming from. Note that we have opened this provisional tab in Visual Studio because you haven't really made any edits. As soon as you edit it, it becomes a regular tab that you can start editing. Of course, now the style itself is based on another style. You right-click on it, go to definition, and go to the actual style, you know, that contains the font setting. So we've made it really easy for you to navigate across styles, across documents pretty easily in Visual Studio. OK. Let's move on. So, oops, that's not what I want. Let's go back up. All right. The next thing I want to do is to start completing the template for the content area itself. So right-click on the hub section again, edit content template, create empty, and then call it daily challenge content template. OK. Again, I'm just for the sake of the demo, I'm going to drag and drop a button. And going to do the same repetitive steps again. All right, there we go. So my button's up and running. Now I'm going to start showing you some of the work that we've done to make your experience in editing your XAML more productive. So the first thing I'm going to show you is imagine that you have a tag that sort of says something like this, right? It's pretty common that you delete things and then you sort of realize that, oh, I don't really need that closing tag anymore. In Visual Studio 2013, as soon as you hit the slash, we detect that the closing tag is not required and completed. But it gets even better. So imagine that you want to sort of change this grid to a stack panel. What do? You start typing. As soon as you type, note that the end tag is automatically getting updated. And we have made it like really easy to sort of like, you know, update tags and things like that. So now the other thing to note here is these types in Windows runtime can be long. It's very hard to sort of, you could get spelling mistakes as you're typing them. We've implemented some sort of fuzzy logic matching algorithms. So if you make a mistake, so let's say you missed the A by mistake and complete, we will still select the nearest possible match and allow you to complete with that particular match. So that makes it really easy. It's very hard as you're typing to sort of get your things wrong. And we have made improvements in Visual Studio to improve that sort of typing experience. I'm going to show you a lot more XAML editor features in a second. Let me just get my app to the state where I can show these. So I'm going to show the border brush to null. That's just to make it look good. I don't want any border brush for the button. OK. The next thing I want to show is a feature of Visual Studio which I really like. So at this point, I have two options, right? I can spend a lot of time here trying to construct that visual tree programmatically. I mean, as in like using the design tools. I can type my XAML. But I'm running out of time. What do? Code snippets. So we've brought all the code snippets functionality that you love in your code editors into Visual Studio. I'm going to show you a couple of real use cases for that. But for now, just for demo purposes, I'm going to insert a snippet. And I have a bunch of snippets that Visual Studio has. And I'll talk about that in a second. I'm just going to add a snippet that I have for demo purposes, daily challenge template, so my app's starting to come together. All it's doing is an image and a text block and a style applied. So I'm not, you know, simple snippet, done for the saving some time here. Now, what's the use of, how can we take this idea of code snippets for the XAML developer forward? We thought about this quite a bit, and our idea here is that we want to supply a number of snippets that, you know, are going to be useful. So I'll show you a couple of them. So imagine how exactly would you extract a style or a template from a button, right? You would basically draw the button, you'd edit the style, and so on and so forth. We have code snippets for all of the templates and styles that ship for Windows controls in the XAML editor itself. So I can right-click, insert snippet. If it's a Windows Phone 8 app, Windows 8 app, or Windows 8.1 app, you see all of the styles for all of the controls that come from the platform in your XAML editor that you can quickly insert. Hit button style, and there you have your style. So that makes it like really easy for you to sort of bring in styles into your app. You give it a name, and then you're good to go. So that's one of the use cases. So we can think of a large number of use cases. Actually, I'm looking for some ideas on areas where we can sort of do ship snippets that are useful to you. So let me know. I'll show a few of those later as well. So let's move on. OK, now that my app is up and running, I'm going to show you probably the coolest feature of Visual Studio that I think is really, really cool. So let's go ahead. And now that my basic UI is done, what's the next step? I want to hook up some data models, right? Like I want to sort of data bind my UI to be dynamic. For the purpose of the demo, I already have like a view model created. I have an instance of the view model in my app.xaml. I can start completing, setting up the data context. I'm going to set data context equals, and I'm going to say static resource. Visual Studio will show you all resources that are applicable in the scope of the XAML from anywhere in your project. So in this case, I'm going to select model, and we're going to get your view model object that's coming from your app.xaml. Now, you'd be curious, you know, where exactly is this object coming from? You'll use the familiar go-to definition, you know, to go to that particular thing. But what I want to show you was go to definition anywhere in your XAML, which means you have proper integration of your view model, data bindings, and everything in go to definition as well. So if I right click on my view model, I can do go to definition here as well. We will take you to the actual line of code that the type comes from. So we made it really easy for you to jump back and forward between your XAML, your view models or classes, and back and forth, right? So I made it super convenient for you to do that. I'll show a few more examples of those in a second. So let's keep going forward. The next thing I want to do is start completing my hub section. I want to sort of put an image in the white box that's on the screen there. So let's go ahead and edit the content template that was there before, expand all the way to show the image, and we want to create a binding here, right? We want to bind this to your view model that was just set. Let's try that experience. So set source equals binding. And as soon as I complete binding, I see all properties from my view model as is applicable in your XAML editor. And it actually gets better, because as soon as I complete the property, we show you all the subproperties that are applicable as well. So we allow you to sort of drill deep as many levels as is possible to actually help you complete your data binding in the XAML editor. And like I said, if you're curious as to where this picture is coming from, just hit right-click, go to definition. And because there is only one instance of this particular property, we can take you there. If there are multiple instances, we'll bring up the symbol search window, and you can disambiguate across the different definitions that exist. Yes, it's all supported. Like, I want to show a couple more examples of how this go-to-definition feature could help you. Real quick, The other thing I wanted to show you was you can right-click on any type as well, and it go to definition. We will take you to the object browser that contains the particular type, the same for properties and things like that as well, so you can get some additional documentation help and navigate your types and properties and things like that as well. Yes, it does. Okay, so now that I have my basic app up and running, let's go ahead and complete a couple more of those sections. By the way, I made a mistake when I was sort of creating the hub item template. I wanted to call it hub page one, but that's okay, because I'm just going to rename it here. Rename it here real quick. Sorry about that. Otherwise, I have to go and fix up my code as well. All right, so that's real quick. Is there a constructor? There is. Okay. Let's go ahead and quickly run this app and see if it works. Okay, note that one of the sections, I forgot to clear out a few properties. One of the sections is I click, nothing really happens. We'll worry about that in a second. But my app's starting to come together in terms of functionality. Let me just go ahead and quickly finish this page. So let me clear out these couple of properties that got set. I don't like those. Oops. Uh-oh. That's not good. My bad. It'll come back, I promise. There we go. It was actually hitting TFS, so too bad. Sorry. You can see, I don't know why it was hitting TFS. That's a good question. But we'll move on. All right. No hangs, right? All right. So let me quickly complete the app by selecting the grid. I'm going to really quickly insert a few code snippets because I don't have too much time to create the same. It's all repetitive, right? I'm doing the same thing again and again for the other two sections. For the hub, like Tim was saying, we have a really good design experience for the hub. As you select different sections, we scroll them into view. So you delete them. You sort of add a couple of sections here. Oops, at the very end. Add one more sort of code snippet. And there you have your different sections, right? As you select them, you can sort of navigate around and see them. All they're doing is styling the header and content in different fancy ways. Let's run this app. And there you have it, right? So simple styling of the hub gets you to the stage. It doesn't have any sort of functionality built in yet, right? Clicking on any of these things doesn't do anything. We'll get into that in a second. Okay. The one last feature I wanted to show you in Visual Studio is XAML Editor before I switch to Blend and start showing some of the design experiences we are bringing to the table. Is the ability to better comment your XAML, right? So in this case, you have two lines of your resources that you don't really need. You want to sort of comment them out because it's going to cause performance issues or whatever. In Visual Studio 2012, that was a painful experience. If you had a comment, you'd be kind of screwed, right? You'd have to do that separately. In 2013, you fixed it, you hit this, and we do the right thing for you. So we sort of... small things. Okay. So you're at the point where, the app's starting to come together. Doesn't look great yet. I mean, it doesn't really do much yet. Let's go ahead and switch gears into Blend and see some of the things we can do there. So I'm going to right-click, open Blend. And the very first thing I want to talk about is behaviors. So how many of you like behaviors? All right, sounds good. So let me explain. I know it's super frustrating that we did not have this in sort of the Windows 8 dev Visual Studio 2012 timeframe. Let me explain the rationale for that. There were two reasons. Windows did not have the necessary APIs that allowed us to build behaviors, and dependency object collection was a key one. Behaviors are only useful, or I personally think behaviors are only useful if you can expose them to the data binding scenarios. And without dependency object collection, it was really hard for us to expose them in a performant way to the data binding engine. So we really needed that API before we could build behaviors. But there is another reason. We care about C++ and native developers a lot. And we wanted to make sure that the behaviors that we write are separate for native developers and managed developers. I mean, the model is the same, the user experience is the same, but native developers get a pure native SDK without any managed dependencies. So we've rewritten the entire behavior engine in native code as well. So we have a native implementation and a managed implementation. Let me explain why we have two different implementations. Managed developers can do a ton of things through reflection. Reflection is a powerful mechanism. We did not want to constrain the ability of the managed developer by sort of like not supporting scenarios that required reflection. And that's the primary reason why we have, you know, different implementations of native and managed. That said, same APIs, 100% XAML compatibility. You can easily mix and match. You can extend them fully. It's up to you guys. So it's all the same capabilities. We do have behaviors. Now, the build of Visual Studio 2013 preview that you just downloaded, or I hope you'll download tonight, does not have behaviors. Don't worry about it. We'll release a preview version of the SDK shortly, but it will be there in the final release of Visual Studio 2013. So talking about behaviors, I'm going to show you three behaviors today. Two of them are just to complete this app. Let's go ahead and do that. What I want to do is when the user clicks on the button, I want to navigate to a particular element. So I'm going to right-click, edit template, edit content, edit current, whatever. Select the button, and I want to basically associate two behaviors. When the user clicks on the button, I want to change the view model, the active view model, to a different one. So I want to have some sort of command invocation behavior. And I want to also trigger a page navigation, right? I want to trigger a page navigation that takes the user to another page in the app, the second page that has the actual challenge themselves. So let's go ahead and attach those behaviors. Go to the asset library. The reason why behaviors are showing up is for the sake of the demo, I had already referenced the SDK. So there is a behaviors SDK, just like you know. Visual Studio will have this out of the box, so you don't really have to download anything. Just download Visual Studio, and you'll have this functionality just out of the box. Go ahead to the asset category, and let's go ahead and first drag and drop the invoke command action. As most of you guys know, this particular behavior is used to sort of invoke a command when an event happens, right? The thing to note also is we have changed the APIs of behaviors a little bit to allow a little bit more flexibility in the system. So we no longer have, we used to have three concepts. We used to have the concept of behaviors, triggers, and actions. Now we just have two concepts. We have behaviors and actions. This allows for a lot of things, which I don't have the time to get into today, and I'll explain this over time on my blog eventually. So let's go ahead and hook up the invoke command action. I already have my view model set up, so I can select the particular command, hit OK. And the second command, the second action sort of I want is navigate to page action. Now, of course, this is a preview build of Visual Studio. There are some rough edges. Ideally, I would just be able to select one of these pages and it would just work. But there are some issues in our current build, so I have to type some markup here that's going to get fixed very shortly. So I'm going to just type the name of the page. I need a fully qualified name of the page for now. Spelling lizard. Please help me know if there's a typo as I type things here. Looks good. All right, let's go ahead and run it. And hit OK. And your basic functionality sort of starting to come together. So we are committed to behaviors, and we will bring it to you guys in the final version of Visual Studio 2013. OK, now remember how Tim talked about, scenarios that you can sort of make, the ways you can sort of make your apps more performant. We thought, instead of writing a bunch of code, right, and you can really make your list views fast and fluid using some of the APIs that the Windows runtime has. We thought, why not encapsulate all of these in a behavior? So we have a new behavior that we're releasing with Visual Studio 2013, known as the incremental update behavior. All you have to do is drag and drop this behavior into any data template in your grid view, and your grid view will be the fastest possible ever. So you cannot write code to be faster than what we can achieve with this behavior. So it's doing the most optimal thing that you can to accomplish a fast panning scenario, right? How do you pan your app really quickly? So we do want to sort of add new behaviors that sort of add value to the Windows Store developer. So we are looking for feedback as well. If there are missing pieces that you see here, let us know, and we'll build them for you. OK, so those are like sort of the three behaviors that I want to quickly talk about. Let's switch gears. And now I'm going to show you some really new cool stuff. So to sort of get a 5-star app rating, for which all of us aspire, right? When we want our apps to be the best, most well-received and reviewed apps, you have to pay a lot of attention. And in particular, one of the areas that you have to pay a lot of attention is sort of like the fine details, right? Your designer is saying, my picture should be 3 pixels from this particular reference point, and you really need to pay attention to those details to sort of create beautiful, compelling user experiences. With Blend for Visual Studio 2013, we're going to help you with sort of achieving that by bringing the concept of rulers and guides into Blend for Visual Studio 2013. How many of you know what rulers and guides are? All right, so anyone who's used Photoshop or Illustrator is familiar with these concepts. But the thing to note about Blend for Visual Studio 2013 is we have made this scenario work for dynamic layout scenarios. So I'm going to talk about that in a second. But let me show you the concept of rulers and guides. So this area over here is new. This, I don't know if you guys can see it at the back of the screen, but this area over here is the ruler area. It's primarily useful for measuring your elements, right? How big is my element? How wide is my element? And so on and so forth. But this area is also useful for creating guides. You can just drag a guide out from the ruler area and position this anywhere on the artboard, right? You can just create guides. These are pure design time concepts. They do not impact your running app or your XAML in any way. They're persisted in a different file, so your XAML remains clean, which is really important for us. And we do take a lot of attention to make sure that that's the case. You can precisely configure where you want these rulers and guides, these guides to be. So in this case, I want my guide to be 40 pixels from the left. Hit OK. So you get that guide exactly where you want it to be. The thing I'm trying to achieve here is this logo that you're seeing here. I want to be sure that that logo appears 40 pixels from the left and 40 pixels from the top. Really hard to do in a panel mechanism where you have these nested panels all over the place and controls and templates. Rulers and guides are designed to make that workflow really smooth and simple. Similarly, I'm going to drag out another guide from the top, and I'm going to call it 40 pixels from the top as well. Once you have your guides up and running, let's go ahead and you can see, like, if I zoom in a little bit, you can see my lizard logo is already a little bit out of place, right? There is some extra space here. Let's go ahead and edit the hub section. Oops, header is what I want, sorry. Oh, no, sorry. I want the hub header, my bad. OK. And you can start moving the thing around, right? And you can see, like, we support snapping to these rulers as well that allows you to get your layout just about right, right? So we want you to make sure that the final pixel is the right one, right? So we have made a lot of work, a lot of investments there to make that better. But it gets better. Let me show you a couple of things. So if you switch to the challenge page, it has the same sort of, you know, logo on the top left corner. Now, I could go and sort of create an additional set of guides and sort of like make, you know, your, you know, I can do the exact same thing I did before. But why not do something else? In Blend, you can load and save presets of guides. So you can create presets for your layout and load and save them from existing presets. So in this case, what I'm going to do is I already created a couple of guides. I'm going to hit this Manage Guides menu, Save Guides, hit OK, and select a particular name. So in this case, let's say I'm going to select Lizard Logo Guides, hit OK. Yes, I want to replace it. I was just playing around with this morning. Now, if you go back to the other page, you can go to the View menu, Manage Guides, Load Guides, and load the logo, the guides that you just created, and there you have it. So you can sort of create these guides and share them across multiple pages, using them to achieve precise layout. You can see that now I can snap that as well. So if you're working with a designer, it's pretty common to get these what we call comps, or design compositions in some ways, which are far more complex than this. So here's how a design composition for this entire page might end up looking like. Manage guides, load guides. Here's the guides for the entire page. And you can now start sort of getting more complex layouts and things like that. Yes?
Can you close this page with the guides open?
Yes, absolutely. It's source control friendly. So the way this works, good question. The question was, if I close the file, what really happens? Let me quickly show you that. Close the file. What's happened? Oops, save changes, yes. What's happened is there's a new folder called design, and there's a file in there called project guides, which contains all the guides for all the documents in your project. So if you can delete it, that's fine. This is not a part of your deployment. So if you deploy your app to the store, this is not going to go out in any way. But it's persisted. So you can sort of share your projects across multiple users and still leverage this functionality. Now, what I was saying is, we're not in the Photoshop or Illustrator world where things are sort of static, right? We live in a dynamic world where users are resizing their apps and things like that. We have designed our system to work well with this. I don't know if you can see it at the back of the screen, but you can see these small flags, which are sort of indicating the direction that the guides are anchored to. So you can anchor a guide to the left of the screen, the right of the screen, the top of the screen, or the bottom of the screen. So in this case, you can sort of see that this guide is anchored 30 pixels from the bottom of the screen, because that's what this thing is saying. And if I drop this down, I can change the alignment to top, and the thing changed as well, right? So bottom as well, right? So the benefit of this system is, as you're going to the device panel, which most of you are familiar with, I'm going to talk about the device panel as well in a second, because we have a lot of new cool things there. If I change the layout from 1366 by 768 into 1920 by 1080, my guides still remain relatively anchored to the location of the end of the bounds of the application. So this makes it really easy. Otherwise, in a static system, you would note that all of the guides are in a different position, and it's not like really useful in a system where you're sort of constantly resizing and relaying out your content. So these features should make it super easy for you to, you know, author precise layouts using some of our tools. So do you guys like this feature? All right. Sounds good. OK. But it gets better. Sorry? So the question is, does the direction of the guide determine which margins get set? That's a good idea. We thought about that a little bit, but not in this release. I'm going to show you some snapping improvements we have done in a second as well, but not specifically your question. You are in charge. You are responsible for making sure that the right properties get set. But great question, something we want to consider for a future release as well. Now, I talked about the device panel. The device panel is this place that sort of lets Windows shine, and some of the concepts that the Windows user experience has shine as well. In Blend for Visual Studio 2012, you could do things like change your themes, and all of these things are still there. We have added a few things that sort of help you with some of the new windowing concepts that are enabled in Windows 8.1. So the very first thing you'll note is this menu here that allows you to sort of like which we call like the edge property, which allows you to preview how your app looks like when it's snapped into different case states. So you can see how your app looks like when it's snapped to the right. And you can see my app starting to look bad, right? You can see how the image has gotten squished. Similarly, I can preview how my app looks when it's sort of centered. But the one thing you can also do is you can resize your app at design time to see how it looks like without actually running your app. So this allows you to sort of build your user experience the way you want it before you actually run the app. And of course, the simulator or the actual device can be used to tweak that further. So we've enabled all these experiences. Let's go and fix the image background problem. That was just a simple mistake on my part. When I created the image, I forgot to set the stretch to fill. So I'm going to change the stretch to uniform to fill, and that problem's gone away. And now if I switch back to different settings, you'll note that it looks great in all of these settings. So the device panel allows you to preview and visualize your app in different states that the app might run into and make changes to the app to make sure that it looks good in all these different form factor settings and things like that. Okay. All right. So the next thing I'm going to show you is, so you have blank page which doesn't really have any data, and it's very hard for you to sort of visualize what's going on here, let alone design it, right? So we are happy to bring back our data panel for Windows Store apps. So actually, not only have we brought it back, we have made it better in terms of the fact that we've added new scenarios and things like that. For some reason, my data context got set here somehow. Let me double check that real quick. I didn't intend to set up any data context. Let's just not set any data context. So the question is, does the resizing goodness work with Silverlight? The device panel is a concept that's not, when you say Silverlight, you don't mean Windows phone apps, right?
No.
Okay, the concept of device panel is tied into the windowing model of Windows, so no, it's not applicable to Silverlight apps. It's only applicable to Windows Store and Windows phone apps. And this is always the case. The device panel was only available for you know, Windows Store and Windows Phone app. So both of those cases work here as well. Let me talk about the data panel. So of course, we have brought back all the features like create sample data from class and all of those things. But the feedback that we got from our users is it's some of these concepts, like the concept of design time data context, is pretty hard to discover, right? You need to know, you know, you need to be a developer to sort of figure that out. And a pretty advanced developer reading all these blogs and things like that. We wanted to make this a little bit more discoverable. And if you know that in the latest version of Blend for Visual Studio, the data context section, whenever we detect that it's not set, we help you set it. So you can sort of like improve your design experience without sort of a lot of tribal knowledge out there, right? So I already have some sample data XAML files. I have like a XAML file in which I typed in a bunch of data. I can use this new user experience in Blend for Visual Studio to sort of set design time data context in a number of ways. I can set it to a number of XAML files that exist that supply data. I can select a different type that sort of supplies the data, and I can sort of choose to sort of like create an instance of the type or use it for reflection or all of these cases. And I can bind it to any object as well that's existing as a resource in my project. So in this case, all I'm going to do is select design data, and hit OK, and you'll note that as soon as I drag and drop this data, if my demo is good, it should all, oh, that's too bad. Let me double check. But trust me, like I was playing around this, like as soon as you drag and drop it, it should all light up. And so the idea of the design time data context panel, by the way, I showed you another feature, not intentionally. All the drag and drop gestures on the data panel have been optimized for Windows Store apps. So when you drag and drop, you'll get a grid view that looks beautiful out of the box. All you have to do is sort of customize that further. So we generate the right panels and the right layouts and things like that. So we've made a number of improvements there as well. OK, two last features I wanted to show you. All right, the first thing is, let's go ahead and add a new page so that it's much more easier for everyone to see. Blank page. OK, the first thing I wanted to show you was the experience we have for app bar buttons. So Tim on the stage took a lot of trouble to type a lot of XAML. Well, you have design tools, right? They do a great job at it. So let's go ahead and see the experience for creating a command bar in Blend or Visual Studio. Go to the asset panel, search for a command bar, and drag and drop the command bar to either the bottom app bar property or the top app bar property. It's as simple as that. As soon as you drop it, Blend for Visual Studio automatically opens up the right section and shows you the command bar open so you can start adding content to the command bar. Let's go ahead and add some content. So I'm going to right-click on primary commands, and I'm going to add an app bar button. We've already created an app bar button for you. Now the thing to note, oops, somebody's tweeting. The thing to note is we have also invested a lot in improving a bunch of the value editors that you can use to configure app bar. So you can see the Windows app bar controls now support a number of scenarios. You can either select a symbol, in which case you get like the full value editor for picking any of these glyphs. So you can just type, hit home, and then you have your home glyph up and running. You have the ability to pick a custom glyph if you want, an image, a bunch of these scenarios. So we've exposed a number of these configuration mechanisms through the property inspector in Blend for Visual Studio. So we have made a number of improvements to help you, thank you, help you you know, design your apps. Yes? Okay, the question here is, do you have to be on Windows 8, do you have to be running on Windows 8.1 to be designing Windows 8.1 apps? And the second question is, do these enhancements also apply to Windows 8 apps? To answer the first question, to design or develop Windows 8 or Windows 8.1 apps using Visual Studio 2013, you have to be running on Windows 8.1. It doesn't matter if you're building a Windows 8 app or a Windows 8.1 app, you have to be running on Visual Studio 2013. The answer to the second question is, these enhancements depends. The Visual Studio enhancements are available for everyone, right? If you're doing like, you know, resources, any of the IntelliSense features or any of the design features we are seeing here are applicable to everyone. But if you're sort of using controls that are specific to Windows 8.1, like the hub control or the app bar, they're only available to the control, to sort of like the projects that you're targeting. So it depends in some ways. Yes, I should clarify that. Visual Studio 2013 requires 8.1 only for Windows Store development. If you're doing WPF or Civilite, no, it's OK. Or ASP.NET or any of these server scenarios, that's OK. Only for store development. Yes?
So there are no new controls for desktop apps?
So the question is, are there any new controls for desktop apps? And I mean, I'm guessing you're saying WPF apps. I'll have to get back to you on that one. I'm not fully familiar with what's going on there, but yes. Today we are just talking about store apps right now. So okay. That's correct. You cannot install Visual Studio 2013 on Windows 8. You absolutely can, but you cannot target Windows Store development using that. One last demo, which I think is one of the coolest ones that I have to show. So you remember how we created the first hub section? We sort of created the header. We applied a style. Let me show you the improvements we are making to the style editing experience in Blend for Visual Studio. So right-click on the section, edit header template, and hit edit current. So this is the text block that I had. If you remember, it had manually applied a style. In Blend for Visual Studio 2013, you can edit a style no matter where it's coming from, right in place where the style is getting used. So let me show you that experience. Right click, edit style, edit current. Note that the style is coming from styles.xaml, but you're essentially editing this in context of the page that the style is sort of coming from. This should. Thank you. No matter how deep your nesting of styles is, we'll allow you to sort of edit with full context of the data that the style sort of requires for proper design time experiences, all on the design surface for Visual Studio 2013. So that's pretty much all I have for demos. Let me actually share a couple more thoughts before I wrap up. So to summarize, we heard your feedback loud and clear. We love behaviors. We'll bring behaviors. Data panel and sample data support, number two feature request after behaviors. Happy to bring that as well. We heard a lot about reliability and performance as ML designer. Go play with it. Let us know if you agree with our assessment. We have to put in a lot of work to improve these scenarios, so love to hear if there are specific cases where things don't work, and we'd love to fix those cases as well. The XAML editor in Visual Studio is fast, really fast in terms of when you get IntelliSense. When you double-click, in most cases that we have measured, IntelliSense should be available in less than 2 seconds. If that's not the case, let us know, and we want to fix those cases so that IntelliSense is available fast, quick, as quick as possible. New experiences, we wanted to make sure that if you're a developer that likes to write their XAML code by hand, we have lots of new features for you. IntelliSense and data binding for resources, go-to definition that allows you to quickly navigate across XAML and code behind. Windows 8.1 support, we have added support for a lot of controls. I could not show a lot of these things today. I just focused on hub and app bar, but we have a lot more controls as well. We've added first-class design time support for these controls. Rulers and guides, we believe that good apps should really focus on getting their layout and, should respect the wishes of the designer all the way through and through. We have made a lot of work to sort of give you the tools to enable these sort of things as well. And of course, we have invested in improving our style and template editing support as well. Like I promised, there's a list of sessions that you may want to attend to get more data about some of these other areas that I talked about as well. In particular, I think you want to pay particular attention to the diagnostic and debugging tools. We've done a lot of work there. And last but not the least, magic slide. I don't know what this time is. I guess get your goodies. Don't forget to get your new Surface Pros. I'm going to read it with you. Looks like you need to pick up your goodies from Hall D. And please, absolutely, I'd love to hear your feedback. I mean, we have done a lot. Like, if you look at User Voice, please go home and look at User Voice, and you'll note that we have addressed at least the top 10 items from User Voice. We love your feedback. We're looking forward to more of it, and we want to do better to make your life more productive. So thank you. Thank you.